greatest two commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It seems like every time I get up here, I use that because it's that important, right? Right. So if those are the important things, what do you think the enemy's going to attack? He's going to attack your mind. You're going to attack your heart. He's going to attack your soul. He's going to attack your strength. But just to clarify something, Jesus rendered him powerless, all right? What is his only weapon? What is the enemy's only weapon? Deception, all right? He can only deceive you. And if our words have power, all right, he's going to deceive us to speak things, all right? We'll speak things to life that he doesn't, that it's not part of his will. I'm going to go a long ways around to about three things today, okay? Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, all right? So we got to talk about the mind. We got to talk about authority, right? We got to talk about faith, and we got to talk about healing, and we first, obedience to Christ. We have to surrender, right? I don't know a name for this message. I came up with a few quick ones, like last night Daniel laughed, and I want it to be about faith and healing, if it all points to that, but it all needs to point to Jesus. Whatever you want to put on there, it's my healing season. It's my healing season. So we need to get ready for that, because there are people that are going to come in here that are going to have physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. Okay? Right? Some of us in this right here have those, and I want to see those get healed today. So we are prepped and we are that spotless bride. I want to start in Scripture. I want to go to John 5, verses 1 through, I think, 9. It said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man who was there had an infirmity 38 years. Let me pause right there. What's an infirmity? Right? Physical sickness, emotional weakness, or spiritual limitations. Okay? All of them. Okay? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? This sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. So, I learned something by doing this study. I've been working on healing. I've been diving deeper. We worked on a good Randy Clark book. We have to start somewhere. So this man, 38 years. I had to write myself bullet points. I know I'm not going to remember all this. He was a sick man with infirmities. There are going to be people that come to this in August that might have been a little bit longer, a little bit less, okay? But I want to take a deep look at this guy, all right? Did Jesus interrupt his day? Jesus interrupted his day. We don't know the other story. All I know is Joel 2:32. Somewhere in that guy came to the end of himself and probably cried out. All right? God heard it, because he doesn't lie, right? If you call it, he'll come and he'll deliver you, save you. All right, so Jesus asks him a question and he responds with what? Excuses. With excuses. How many of us have been there, right? We've had excuses. And what is that? That's 38 years of, I don't know if he was there the whole 38 years, but 38 years of excuses of why he couldn't get up and walk, all right? And Jesus asked him a question, do you want to be made well? Then he locked eyes with him. He locked eyes with him, 38 years, disappeared. In an instant, obedience, get up, rise up. And what did he do? He walked, got up, all right? We need faith to rise up in us, okay? Faith to rise up in us. I'm going to share some testimonies. We just watched one. That faith needs to rise up. The commands come, an instant healing. He possibly cried out to the Lord at the end of himself. All right, as I'm diving into this, I need some Bible scholars in here because I could not find it in Scripture. Anytime Jesus walked up to anybody, did he say, I'm getting you back from last week. You know that alcohol you tried to get Sean to drink and get him drunk? Yeah, you should see him now. He's back at it, all right? Now I'm an alcoholic, and I have to be healed from that. But did Jesus ever in Scripture, walk up and say, well, why is that wrong with you? Not once. Did Jesus ever walk up before he healed anybody and ask them why they are that way? He told the woman at the well about her life, all right? But did he ever ask? So I want everybody to know, anybody that comes up here or comes in August, it doesn't matter, because the blood paid the price for every single soul. All right, so the sick man had excuses, his mind was racing, and I was doing some studying. Do you know the average human being has anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day? Huh? How many of you got like minds that run 100 miles an hour? Okay. Like Lance said Thursday, I don't know if I even have that many, but because you're full of joy. You're at peace, all right? Some of us, our minds are working. Some of us are overthinkers. But if that's the case, and there's 6,000 to 70,000 of them a day, that's like 48 thoughts per minute. What do you do with 48 thoughts per minute? Yeah, see? I did something in youth where I made a mess, and I didn't want to clean it up because our sanctuary. I was going to have a bunch of confetti. David and some of the people will remember that. But, yeah, there's a vacuum cleaner. What does this look like? A bird, okay? And if I hide under the shadow of his wing, if 48 thoughts a minute are coming, all right, some of those thoughts in my 38 plus years or 52 plus years have grabbed hold and grabbed root and kind of told me my identity, all right, my belief system, and set some boundaries. And I could say, you, for my whole life, some of those that got through grabbed root and they weren't good ones, okay? How many of you remember Earl Nightingale? Show your ages. Earl Nightingale. He's a voice of the radio in like the 50s. Nobody. Good, I'm not that old. I wasn't born then, so I wrote it down because I knew I wouldn't remember it word for word. No. He says your mind is like a fertile field. What you plant in it is what will grow. You plant by the thoughts you think, the words you say, and the books you read. Your mind has no choice but to grow only what you plant. If you plant doom, gloom, and failure and expect success, just like you can't plant corn and expect beans. Larry, if you plant corn, what are you getting? You're getting corn, okay? What you're planting, what are you planting, success or failure? And that's from like The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale from like 56. Trying to find some good quotes about the mind. So we're supposed to guard our mind, right? If that's one of the things the enemy attacks, we have to get our mind straight of, for one, who Jesus is, his lordship. We have to get our hearts ready to surrender. And then we have to have our mind clear where we can hear that. What, Danielle, great job this morning, by the way. Isn't she beautiful? Very cute. But if we're going to hear that still small voice, all right, we're going to get a gift. That gift of knowledge is going to come for that some individual in August. Could happen here today. Sometimes it's going to be that thunderous boom. And that thunderous boom, I love when that happens because you quicken. You quicken to that because you're obedient to what you hear. All right, so some thoughts have got rooted and it made up people's identity. I want to share a couple testimonies. I'm not going to mention any names because if they ever listen to this, I don't want to feel like I'm calling them out. One gentleman had a problem with his gut. Come to a Bible study of with us for a very long time. I felt the urge to pray for him. And in his identity, he thinks, he knows God will heal people. But if he got healed, he would have to go back to work. He would have to go back to work. He was used to that disability check. He's not the only one I've ever had to deal with that for. One other night, my Tuesday group, we get a little bit excited. We're going to go do a treasure hunt. We go do a treasure hunt. God was pretty much spot on all the little clues he gave us. And we get to this gentleman, well, it was a bunch of ladies that we were going to. We already knew where we were going. And then because we prayed for the ladies and were spot on, one lady went and grabbed her husband who was waiting in the car. He came in. Holy Spirit's filling this room. I'm telling you, the presence is thick, it's heavy. And he walks around like this because he had had a stroke. I don't know how long he had this stroke, but this is his identity. All right? Holy Spirit quickened. I was obedient. Wanted to heal him. He refused it. I know I brought this up to Sunny. I needed to pop that spiritual bubble or that doubt and unbelief that was around him. But he didn't want healed. Nothing happened. Right? These are two instances. What does testimonies like that do? It builds your faith. What do testimonies like that do? Yeah. So you get your highs, you get your lows. But I still knew one thing, that God is God. Jesus sits on the throne, and I'm still going to go after the next one. All right? As these people come in August, and for yourselves, Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation in Christ. Right? John 15:3 says, you are clean. So I want you to look, when these people come, we're going to need help, right? We're going to need help. I feel like this place could be full. The word will get out probably night two. It'll be even fuller because people are going to get healed, all right? The word's going to go out. All right, here's where some of these people, those two testimonies I just get, but, I, or they. But, excuse, right? They come with excuses because they've learned to walk in what the devil lied to them about because they don't walk in freedom. So, this sick man from John 5 saw something. He saw kingdom authority. And I was trying to find the best definition for kingdom authority, and I think this one was it. Kingdom authority may be defined as the divinely authorized right and responsibility delegated to believers to act on God's behalf in spiritually ruling over his creation under the lordship of Jesus. I'll read it one more time. Kingdom authority may be defined as the divinely authorized right and responsibility delegated to believers to act on God's behalf in spiritually ruling over the creation under the lordship of Jesus. Who are the believers? We are, all right? He has delegated things to us, right? We're going to dive a little bit into that, all right? I have a guy that I talk with. We have church like every couple days at work, downtime. He's Catholic. I've learned a lot about Catholics. I've been wrong on a lot of things and been right about a lot of things as well, but we have church. He teaches me, I listen, he listens to me, and he came up to this thing about having to go to a father for confession, and I said, I don't believe that, I can go straight to him, all right? But he had a good point of we should confess our sins to one another, I'm great, and I was like, but you have the power to forgive. He goes, no, we don't, only God has the power to forgive. So I smacked him in the face, not really. I was like, do you forgive me? He's like, yeah. I was like, see, you got power to forgive. Like, pretty simple, right? He's like, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. Sometimes I'm funny, sometimes not so much. All right, I want to turn to Ephesians. I'm going to go to chapter 1. I think I gave you verse 15, yes. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want to break that down just a little bit. All right. Verse 17 says he gives you the spirit of what? Can we go back to that one? Of wisdom and revelation. All right. I feel the Lord has been blessing me and my wife. He's giving us and downloading us more and more because we've surrendered more. All right. I think we've put a lot of our baggage from a past life, and the Lord's been like downloading a little bit more. We're more surrendered to him. So we're hearing things, we're understanding things just a little bit better. She came up with a good analogy. I don't know if you want to share it or not. Mario, you can't skip levels. Hold on. I think it's worth sharing. You thought you were done.
So when you're working with youth, you have to speak their language. But at the same time, if you're a Gen Xer, you played Mario, you know? Everybody knows Mario. And I can't remember what the context is for sure, but when I had asked God that question, like, why didn't you answer this question? He says, I don't have to. In the knowledge and wisdom of that from him, I started understanding things that we're always trying to skip levels. We want this knowledge before we're ready for it, or we want this experience before we're ready for it. And, you know, we're on a straight and narrow. We don't get to veer off. So with the youth, I said, you know how there's that, you know, secret tunnel you can go to on Mario, and then it gives you the option to go to all these levels that are way past where you're at? If you do that, and it spits you out in a place you have no idea what to do. You don't. And so, I mean, it's mercy from God that some things we don't know yet, or some things we can't do yet.
So. Very good. He gives us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's good knowledge, right? You can't fast forward. You have to walk through it. You have to be refined. You have to surrender more. In verse 18, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That means is so your eyes start seeing things as they really are and not as you think they are. I want you guys to ask God to help you see. Let me say it with me. God, help us see. God, help us see. All right, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Say, I am rich. The things that really matter, we are rich. All right, we are. We're really, really rich. And thank you for his mercy and his grace. All right, we pass the riches of his glory, of his inheritance to the saints. On our way to heaven, all right, there are rights, there are privileges, and there are benefits that we have, right? We should be using them along our journey. Do you agree? We should be using those along our journey. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but we should know these riches. They're right here, right? They're in there. All the 7,000 promises that are in there and the benefits of Christ. All right. Verse 19. And what is exceedingly greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What you to see his power. God, I think he wants to flex his muscles. All right? I think he wants to flex his muscles. And sometimes it's, we need to let him, but we block him. Some of our thoughts, I'm not good enough, but you're good enough. We bought into those lies of the enemy, and we've 38 years. Right, 38 years we bought into a lie. What kind of power is that we're supposed to be tapping into? This is good church word. Resurrection power. Right? What is resurrection power? It brings things back to life that are dead, It changes situations that were bad and makes them good, right? It takes defeat and makes it victory. Victory turns loss into gain. We're going to see these people in August. We're preparing ourselves to be that spotless bride. We should be living these things already, so they happen almost on a daily. All right? He wants you to see the natural order of things. He can change things by resurrection power. So we can watch people physically. Watch just a testimony there. Emotionally. Anybody ever had an emotional problem? Right? Anybody ever had a spiritual problem? All right, here's where a couple testimonies come. 2013, don't judge me. Before Danielle, I was on a Christian dating site trying to find a mate. Found one, talked to her for quite a while, decided to go visit her in Plainfield. I get in my car, brakes go out. I'm like, but a little bit about Megan. Megan had RA, Megan had lupus. Megan had a lot of heartache. Won't share some of her personal stuff, but those were the two big things. I wanted to go. She didn't think she was good enough. She didn't think God would heal her. She thought it was selfish to pray for healing. I pull in my mom's. I made it to my mom's. I said, I'm borrowing your car. I go up there. Guess what happens with my mom's car? Like the brakes are like not wanting to work. I said, devil, not today, right? I get up there. I don't remember. I know I anointed her with oil. We prayed. And it took about a month for her to go to the doctor because she instantly didn't feel any more pain. I don't have lupus. I don't have RA. I don't know how that feels, okay? But I know instantly she felt it. And about a month later, there were no signs. No signs of any of that. She had that for 30-some years, right? She was like born with it. Who did that? All right. Here's a confession. Have you ever done something, Lance Sonny, and took the glory for it? About 6 years later, I'm on the way to a Monday night thing. He says, I need you to, the Holy Spirit, because you're in tune, you're listening. I need you to call Megan and apologize. I'm like, apologize for what? For stealing my glory. She answers the phone, like, what are you calling me for? I apologize. Now I'm in tears. I apologize to him. It's him, all right? It isn't you. You can't do anything, all right? We're connected to the vine, and through all things come through him, that he will do that. It's his power, all right? It's his power through us. And here's the one that tears me up every time. We were at the, Greg Locke was here. We were doing it. Don't matter who the talker was. It was the end of the service. Who's supposed to be my partner up there praying for people? My wife. Where's my wife most of the time? Right. You and Ray were getting prayed for, I think, by Phyllis and Sonny. You would have been my next choice. Jim Pond's there. I grabbed Jim. And with Jim, we go up there for the altar call. And a couple of people come by. You pray for them. You get through it. I know I'm a little down because I want to feel something, all right? This lady comes up. I can't remember her name. It starts with a B. She's widowed, has cancer. And I can't remember the other thing. So me and Jim are praying. We're praying. Word of wisdom comes. It's usually the biggest one. She had some unforgiveness. Plus she had cancer. Plus she was widowed, so she's lonely. All I know is the word came, and once she repented of the unforgiveness, she was mad at God for taking her husband. She was mad at him, right? I could feel that. It was like the compassion was there that you could feel it, and that's just awesome. And then the worship started getting a little bit louder. I make eye contact with Jim. I know my hand goes in the air. She's right here. Jim's over here. Jim's hand is over here with his hand up. Our other hand's on her shoulders. Electricity shot through my arm. I seen it hit her, and it shot out Jim. She knew instantly she was healed, all right? To be used to feel that, you can never deny that, all right? That's humbling, all right? That's humbling. She goes back after we get done praying, hugging her and all this other stuff. I know you're done getting prayed for. She comes back, told her friends that she's healed. I mean, loudly said she was healed. The Lord healed her. I wish I could find her. But what to be used like that, that's humbling, All right? I want more of that. I want more of that, and it's His glory. All right? Who did the healing? He did. Okay. Now, we're a family here.
When you started that second one, my daily devotion popped up, and I don't usually look at it right away, and it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name."
It's all Him. Thank you. All right. Verse 20. He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Let's make sure we get that right. Heavenly places, and correct me if I'm wrong. Heavenly places is a euphemism for the spiritual realm. Am I right? Okay. Seated Him. Where? At the right hand. As you dive more into Scripture, the right hand is your power hand, your authority hand. Okay? He seated Him in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come. He put all things under His feet. All things. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to it. All right? I want you to be enlightened now about those privileges, all right, to become wise to God's organic truth. Another small testimony, kind of funny, because I'm cheap and I don't like spending a lot of money. We go to Kroger. This is if you catch me at the grocery store, I'm probably in a bad mood. All right, I hate grocery shopping. It's like, and Daniel knows it's time to go. We started doing Kroger pickups, and that was okay. But now I don't mind Aldi's because it's not so big. All right, I love Aldi's because I'll pick what I want. We went to Kroger because it was just the time frame of the week, and we didn't really have time to go out east. And she picks up this big thing of organic Welch's grapes. They were like $8 or $9. And I'm like, no big deal, that's what she wants. So I didn't even think about it until that week. She says, try these grapes. I'm like, I really can't eat. I've been having a lot of dental work, so I'm about 2 weeks away from all that being done. I can't really eat them. Yeah, she had her teacher. They were sprayed with so much pesticides, you could taste it, all right? Right, so when we come back to that wisdom that's in verse 17, that wisdom, some of those thoughts that have gotten through have been sprayed with pesticides. And you know what that wisdom is? That's not spiritual wisdom, right? That's man's wisdom. What has gotten man in trouble for all these years? Man's wisdom, all right? Man's wisdom has got us in so much trouble because we have sprayed everything down with pesticides in our thoughts and whatever you want to do, like our prayer lives, right? They've diminished a little bit. We don't give time for Him. When we seek Him first, all these other things are going to happen, right? One of my favorite scriptures. All right, back to verse 20. So, seated Him, the job is finished. What he say on the cross? It is finished. So, you don't sit down unless the job's done, right? Okay. All right, so the job's finished. We're clear there. Where did they seat Him? Right hand, in heavenly places, far above all things. All right. So, I want to go to chapter 2, Ephesians, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, because we've all been there. I'm sorry, I'm trying to watch the time. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, where did we sit? We sat with Him. So, does it say that? It's made us alive together and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. So, we're sitting there with Him. But sometimes we have a little bit of a problem. You guys had a good testimony, right? You had a good testimony? You guys can be in two places at once? You can't you? You can be here, and you can be in Spain. I've done this with Ivy Tech. I've been in D.C., and I've been in Indiana. I just got done with a Leadership Academy team scattered all across the states. So we're not supposed to bring earth to heaven. We're supposed to call heaven down, right? We've been thinking earthly and not heavenly. All right? We need to start thinking heavenly instead of earthly. Who's worthy to be healed? Everybody, all right? Everybody. Who has the authority to heal? All of us through him, all right? And it says, verse 22 of chapter 1, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. It didn't say all things to the world that follow the world. It says to the church. We have responsibilities, all right? We have responsibilities. So I want to move on. One quick note, Hebrews 2:14, Satan was defeated. I think we already answered this. And his only weapon is what? Deception. Okay, thank you. So if Satan is now under Jesus' feet and we're raised up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Jesus is not the only one in heaven. Some of us are together with him. Make sure Paul is telling us that we are spiritually relocated in heavenly places. We have been operating from the wrong location. So we want God's perspective, not man's perspective. Are we clear on that one? Okay. So we are seated with him. Authority works where Jesus rules, where his jurisdiction exists. All right. How do you experience it? All things to the church. That's how we experience it. Until we submit that part, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all, you won't see the connection open up, the lights go off, until we get one thing taken care of. This one might be a little hard for some of us. We got to understand that we are under Jesus' feet. Now, that's not being him trying to crush our skull. When it says under his feet, that means under his authority, right? Under his authority. When we just fill out that part of it and we know that it's under his authority, which means lordship, right? How many of you want to be here and be part of August? Okay? How many of you want to be that every day and be that spotless bride, right? We have to determine, this is important, where Jesus' lordship is in our life. Is there an area of your life? This is preparing you for August. This is preparing you to be the spotless bride. Is there an area in your life that Jesus is not Lord? Right? If not, we'll take care of that today. He's Savior to everybody here. Everybody here is saved, right? So if everybody here is saved, is he Lord in every area of your life? That means every area, what you eat, what you watch, what you listen to, how you spend your money. You understand me? And that one's hard, all right? Romans 14, 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to the end, Christ died and rose and lived again, and he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. How many times did he say Lord? Four times, just in those two scriptures. Four times, right? Jesus wants to be Lord, Master, Ruler, Final Decision Maker, meaning we are under his authority. And are you willing to say, I am not my own, I was bought with a price? All right, that price that was paid, that price covers all my life, my financial, my attitude when I'm grocery shopping, my relational life, my physical life, my emotional life, my spiritual life. All three things of those, all six of those, whatever you want to put it, need to fall under his authority. All right, am I going too fast? Let me speed up. All right. Anybody, I just used this in the youth the other night. I don't think it went over very well, but I'm going to try it again. End of the year, we get through the holidays. We get Thanksgiving. We get Christmas. Do we all put on a little bit of weight? Never? Okay. How many of you go and get your gym commitment? Like you sign up, and I'm going to, you did it once. All right. So there's the commitment you go and spend. I can't remember what it cost, but yeah, he went a few times. Yeah, it was an Ivy Tech deal. But anyway, We make that commitment, and then by March, it's done. Right? You see the word commitment? Like, I have a commitment. I want to change that word commitment to surrender. Right? If you're going to want to come here in August, if you want to keep on moving along like you're moving along, that word surrender means a lot more. David, come here. Come here. If I came in here and I'm holding up a gun, it's a drumstick, right? It's not really a gun, right? And I said, commit. If I said surrender, what's your first instinct? Well, if it's a gun, all right. So you're going to surrender, all right? And now I have authority to make you do whatever I want, right? Because I'm holding the weapon. I know it's a bad analogy, and I always come up with this downstairs. My wife will yell at me later. But are you surrendered right now? Why? Because I have authority over you right now? All right, because of the weapon I have? Do you see what, if you can lock this in a little bit spiritually? All right, so you've surrendered. You're like, yes, boss. Go sit down. Go sit down. Go ahead. That's a bad analogy, but real. You see what I'm saying? We're surrendered. If we're surrendered, the next thing he's going to tell us to do. Yes, boss. Yes, master. Yes. 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 Yes, because I'm in tune, and I'm surrendered to hear that quickening or that thunder. Okay? Because I'm rooted in him. I've cleared out my thoughts. I have let this... I can't say I'm perfect because I still have some that come through. But I'm letting this guard it. I'm guarding my thoughts, right? I'm taking them captive. I'm throwing them to the feet of Jesus and see where they line up. We have a problem in today's churches that we have AM, FM Christians. You hear me? We're plugged into the wrong frequency. When we want to tune in, we'll tune in. But when we don't, right? There's power when we're tuned in. There's power, all right? And it's not about me. Whose glory is it? It's his glory. Okay. I'm going to skip that part. Mark 11:24. I don't think I gave you this one, Becky. But Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask for, believe. Have faith that you have received it and it will be yours. Right? Is that what the word says? Right. Right. But he's high and seated. He's got all the power. I could go around where Job. Well, this happened to Job. Well, we could walk around that too. He's got veto power. Yes, I might send some of these people. He's not going to ask them questions of what they've done, right? Jesus doesn't ask those questions. He just does his thing because he's full of compassion. He's full of mercy, and so should we. We're trying to be Christ-like, aren't we? So we should have that compassion, that mercy, and all these things too. That should be our everyday life, to be honest. So, Mark 11:24, that's not a suggestion. It's a promise, and it teaches a radical truth. Just like when I prayed for Megan, faith was received before it was seen. Right? So was this leper. Faith was received before it was seen. Do you think he instantly watched all this leprosy go away? He spoke the word, boom, done. So our prayer, which I've learned, because I am not the greatest, I'd rather somebody else do it. It doesn't have to be eloquent, does it? Have we learned that? It doesn't have to be eloquent. It needs to be filled. It doesn't need to be filled with spiritual words. But Jesus says it only needs to be filled with what? Faith, right? So there's kind of where I want. Healing begins when our heart aligns with heaven. God's word will not return to him void. It returns to him victorious, right? Why? This is a hard question. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, though. Why doesn't everybody get healed? Two people. It's faith, all right? Two people had faith in who their identity was. We had to switch something. Emotional, spiritual, all right? The next promise, because Megan believed right away. She didn't wait for her test results. There was no more RA or lupus. I felt that go through her that night, right? I felt it, all right? That's an amazing testimony. The next promise I want to go to is James 5, 15. We're going to start in verse 13. Is any among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, Lance? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of what? Faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Who will raise him up? Okay. So, it's not any prayer, it's the prayer of faith backed by trust. Did you trust him when you first got saved right away? No, I didn't. I'll be honest. It took time. It was a very learned behavior. So it was rooted in getting to know who God was in his nature. It took a long time to get to know God's nature. I think I'm still learning a little bit more, and I'm nowhere close. I think I know about this much of to infinity. All right. It's wrapped in boldness, and our words have power of life and death. I don't know how many times I've spoken something. I know Darlene's caught me. Hey, watch your mouth. Yeah. Watch those words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because they have power. All right? They have power of life and death. The beautiful part is the Lord raised them up. All right? Not our striving, not our effort, but our surrender got us to that where people will come and get that prayer of faith. So I have one question right now. What would shift in your spirit today if you stopped begging God to heal you instead of believing that your prayer moves his heart? Let me read that again. What would shift in your spirit today if you stopped begging God to heal and instead believe that your prayer moves his heart? By faith moves his heart. By faith moves his heart. When you believe that God is, that God created every cell in your body in the secret place, right? He formed you in your mother's womb. If he did all those and all those cells, and you believe that he put them together perfectly, right? Healing, you stop trying to perform for healing and you start receiving, all right? What's that old church thing where you're holding up like a funnel, start receiving, holy hands, you start receiving and you start feeling that girl at the tent surrendered, boom, right? I want more of that, right? I selfishly want more of that, to be honest, all right? Philippians 2, 9 through 10 reminds us, this is where I'm going to try to get a little bit bold today. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, including sickness. Let that one hit you. Is there any name greater than Jesus? Right. Is any among you sick? Is any among you got anything? So that means sickness bows. That means disease kneels, pain yields, and there is no name higher than Jesus. All right. Not cancer, not autoimmune disorders, not anxiety, migraines, not inflammation, not insomnia. Say it with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say it again. You're just not wasting your breath. You're speaking authority, right? We declare it, that name over our bodies, our diagnosis, our wounds, our sleepless nights. Danielle says I snore. She keeps telling me that. So she had a sleepless night. You're calling heaven into action. Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, quicken, quicken, quicken. He's going to give you that word. You should know some of it right here, right? Because you have that relationship, all right? I could go over a few. I wrote them down. What's the one we mostly go to when we're trying to proclaim healing over somebody? Can we name a few? Isaiah 53, verse 5. By his stripes we are. Okay. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that heals who? Right? Psalms 103:3, He forgives all and heals all of your diseases. Last one, Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health to you. Healing has already been paid for, so let that sink into your doubts. Let that sink into your bones, because healing is not a transaction, it's a transformation. So, what did that guy at the pool made eye contact? What raised up? Faith raised up, all right? Let that rise up in your spirit right now. Meditate on it while you're at home and let it rise up. Matthew 8:3, just in case you have any doubt, Jesus said, I am willing. Be healed, and immediately the man was cleansed. Okay? Do you hear the heart of Jesus in that scripture? He says he's willing. All right? He didn't say, let me think about it. He didn't say, hold on. He said, you're healed. He spoke it just like that. So the guy was instantly healed. What else did he heal that guy? If he's leprosy, what was he, an outcast? Did he heal his shame? So what's shame? Is that emotional, physical, or spiritual? All three, right? He healed his isolation. He healed his loneliness, right? He healed his waiting. That guy at the pool was 38 years of waiting until he called upon the name of the Lord. And he did it immediately. These are things we're going to see, immediate healings, right? Just like that girl. We don't know her story. We don't know how long she cried out. I don't know the lady at the tent, how long she had cried out, all right? All I knew is she repented, and then boom, the Lord healed her, all right? It was nothing I did. It was who? Him. Okay. Here's what some people have gotten some thoughts about. You ever heard that all that was from the book of Acts? That's from back then. That's a lie from the enemy. The power of Jesus isn't trapped in history, right? It's for the present day. God's word is clear. Healing is not a maybe. It is a promise. Healing is not reserved for the worthy. It's released for the willing. It's not earned. You hear me? It's not earned. It's received by faith. What's faith do? Denies the symptoms. One more testimony. 4th of July. I don't know how many years ago. I know I've shared it up here before. We're playing some game. I fell in a hole. I heard every bone in my foot crack. Still played on it for 2 hours. But before my foot landed and I gained myself, I was quickened to say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I know it was probably broke. It was probably broke. When I finally got my shoe off, it was black and blue, swollen up. Guess what? I didn't go to the doctor, but my foot was healed. Still had evidence, but the word got spoke, and it was, who healed it? Him, okay? I knew the authority that was given to me. Let me tell you what, if that would have been 15 years ago, that wouldn't have been what came out of my mouth, all right? Would not. It doesn't ignore the facts. It elevates the truth. That's what faith does. You don't have to be perfect to receive healing. You just have to be willing to believe. If Jesus touched lepers, healed strangers, opened blind eyes and raised the dead, that he is not intimidated by your condition at all, right? He's drawn to your faith, right? I want to do something just a little bit different about communion. Are we okay with that? Okay. I'm going to pull communion up here. I'm not done with you yet. Sometimes I'm not very good at instructions. Look around the room. Are we all family? We are all family, okay? I want you to come up. I will bless it after you have it back at your seat. We're going to take it all together, all right, as a family, all right? I want some unity. And I'm going to pray. And if there's anything else that comes off my heart, I will. I can be honest. I sat there for a day and wrote, Lord. That's all I wrote, right? and then it started flowing. I wrote it out, right? If he gives me anything else, I will say it. But I want to have communion as a family. Are we okay with that? All right. So form two lines. If we want to go get the other kids that are back there. Can you put on some kind of music? Why people get this, some instrumental. Two lines. Yeah, maybe one. One. That way we're not hitting each other. That's why I have you. You're smart.